had internet access. We did not have...
Oh, forget it.
But it was also, like, 1990-something.
Yeah, well...
1990-something. It was the 1990s.
Yeah, it was 1886.
Well, my parents, the best internet they can get is 56K modem, unless they use a satellite service, because we can't get cable TV.
The first time I had internet was in the early 90s there. It was on Prodigy. And dial-up to Puerto Rico, and the first
one
was $150.
Oh!
And my mom thought it was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, she thought it was amazing.
She's like, we're connected to the world.
I think your mom's awesome if she thought that was awesome. Cause
my mom is pretty awesome. Like,
Gerald's mom is hilarious.
My mom, she's a frumpy British lady. She's very Helen McCarthy-like. Like, that's when Helen McCarthy says, like, oh, you fuck twit. Makes me laugh. That's like my mom saying it.
Makes me laugh.
I love Helen. I wish she'd been able to go to AWA.
She is pretty
great.
She's
awesome. I wish I could have talked to her more. So here we are, the Ninja Consultant live podcast at 10:30 in the morning on a Sunday at CETACON 2008. We have with us Lawrence Eng, who's another guest.
Hey, everybody.
And Gerald and Clarissa from Anime World Order. And our
one awesome fan. Dedicated listener.
Who has shown up to like the Podcast Reach Night panel and various other panels that we've done. That other girl with the glasses, she's not here though. She like stayed all the way through a manga panel. But so yeah, some of the panels been a little under attended.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you
a
said
bit.
But you say it's better than
so many cons. We're the only people in the audience. Other panelists.
It's still kind of cool though.
Yeah, well, it does
well,
mean that.
I guess assimilation.
Assimilation was pain.
Call it guest con.
Guest con. Relaxicon.
Everyone is guest.
Well, we should hold a Relaxicon actually, where the panels take place in the hot tub, and then you know you adjourn to the bar at like 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh, man, those were the days.
But you're like a definition of Relaxicon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
And oh yeah.
As long as you say there's alcohol involved.
Yeah.
There's alcohol involved.
Although, did you guys hear the latest episode of the Weekly Anime Review?
I started listening to it, but their con reports can kind of drag on.
It's
so
like
I couldn't listen to it with Noah in the room.
A minute by minute.
Kind of they do, where they're like, we got up at 8:05, and by 8:10 we were dressed.
Yep.
By 8:11. But I heard about Providence Anime Con from Allison.
I got
a full report from her, and she said there were lots of problems. Like, they didn't have anyone local, so there were a lot of strange problems. Like, staff were paying $30 a day for parking when actually the event center had $10 a day parking. They would sit in Artist Alley for hours, and no one would walk through. Allison did make a little bit of money, but most of it was off. Only three people.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
The same three people. And she hung out with her artist friends, but it was overpriced. They didn't sell single day passes at all, so everyone had to go all 3 days. Yeah, but like, and no one was there on Friday, because like, if you were going to an over 21 con, those people have to work, so no one was taking the day off from work for that. So it was like, they planned a con for like 1,000 people or something like that.
I think that's right.
Only 300 people showed up.
That's bullshit, though. A first year con getting 300 people is perfectly respectable.
Right. So they shouldn't.
Beyond what they were expecting.
Yeah, they way overextended it, which is weird because it was like set up by the guy who set up Anime Boston, who's generally a good con organizer. Maybe there was someone else in charge, and it wasn't.
And they had pretty good commotion.
Every first year con I've been to, if they get 300 people, that's great.
Hmm.
And unless they are in like the center of a big city and they've got a lot of advertising. But Aaron was talking about how he was really happy that this one con had like this panel. Anime drinking games where older people just sat around and drank, and they had a bar that was serving anime themed alcohol, and he said, you know, this is a good idea. They should have this at more cons. I'm thinking, no, I know people who do that already.
Are you sure he wasn't talking about Anime Punch?
Yes, he was talking about
Anime Providence.
Punch, which is the last episode that he released. Like,
Right. I was there at Anime Punch, and I don't know if they were so much drinking games, but
no,
they
no,
were
it
doing
was
drinking it, songs.
It was
like anime drinking songs.
It was like anime drinking songs, but it wasn't like. It was just like, let's sing the opening to Sailor Moon and drink while we sing it.
Well, more manly anime songs, you know, like the opening and stuff like that.
Sailor Moon, so that would have been interesting to see.
Well, maybe that too, but definitely manly songs. But yeah, no, they gave away like coupons for free cocktails at the bar. They're all anime-themed drinks. Like,
the thing is that I don't think you, in my experience, encouraging older anime fans to drink at a con is the bad thing to do. Everyone that I see who is an older anime fan who drinks ultimately is sloshed by Friday afternoon.
Right,
things they don't actually need.
Yeah.
The thing is that if you're encouraging behavior that's going to happen anyway, it's not going to make it any better.
But it's not going to make it any worse.
Yes, it will.
All right. So, but this...
Gerald just has... Well, is annoyed that other people imbibe alcohol.
Oh, that might be true.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you in the glory days of Akon, when the real anime drinkers... started imbibing. These are people like Ed Hill and Dave Merrill.
Oh, we met Ed. You know Ed Hill. He goes to AWA. He did that shoujo panel.
Where Ed, I mean, a day of drinking at an anime convention is probably no different than any other day for him. But he becomes infinitely more amusing. And that in itself is worth the price of admission. Mm-hmm. So
he's married.
Yeah, I know.
I know. I'm still shocked.
That's bizarre. I don't know.
Because... I don't know.
Ed, okay. if you're listening to this,
congratulations,
stay awesome,
Ed.
Buddy.
He does.
I'm glad you're still alive.
Yeah, he's
very interesting magical girl panel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a really smart guy.
Daryl said that he came up to me and he said, Daryl told me that you said I do creepy panels.
Yeah.
When I said specifically he does really interesting magical girl panels. He talks all about the weird magical girl shows from the 80s that I've never seen.
Mm. But yeah, he knows his material.
He's Carl Horn's buddy, so I'm like jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both. What was that manga that they both?
It wasn't manga. It's a British comic about
a guy
who's an alcoholic and he vomits or whatever. Wakes up in his own vomit, and drinks again. It was a comic about alcoholism.
Hilarious.
He finds a magic genie bottle and he's thinking about, a genie's lamp. And he's thinking about all the things he can do, like he could make his family rich, set his wife up with a big house, and in the end, like, he rubs the lamp and wishes for another six-pack. Yes, like he could turn his life around.
Quiet desperation.
See, in Florida...
I don't know if that's it.
Maybe our drinkers are... Maybe we know our drinkers better. our good friend Ken Nabby, good man, good man... I don't think I've ever seen him at an anime convention not totally sloshed.
Mm.
even at noon on Friday.
At noon on Friday?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the registration line.
Yes.
All right.
The last time we saw him, we were in the registration line. He walked up to us. He had a big thing of tequila.
It was like one of those convenience store, like, big gulp, gigantic things, but for a margarita.
Gross. Yeah. I'm going to save this file. And then maybe we'll...
Or maybe you're happy about
it. Ed's never going to listen to our show, let's face it.
This is gold.
Well, then you should get closer to the mic or something, because I'm going to run it through level later anyway. But no, so we all went to the Maid Cafe.
Yeah.
Lawrence also went to the Maid Cafe. You actually tried some of the food.
Yeah, I tried some of the food. It was pretty bland.
What did you eat?
I had a cheese sandwich, which was $2.
Was it Kraft Singles?
Kraft Singles on white bread.
Oh.
Cucumber sandwich, which was literally a slice of cucumber on white bread. Kind of nice, very prettily and nicely.
Right, a lot of moe went into that sandwich.
And I got a vanilla cupcake, which is actually really good, and a Coke in a small cup. So all told was $5, and played a game of rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, you actually played a game.
Well, she came up to me and asked me if I wanted to play a game, a free game. I didn't pay for one of the games.
Yeah. It's on the house. That's how they hook you.
Yeah.
The first one's always free.
Yeah. I know there was
that sounds better off than the actual Maid Cafes in Japan, because what I hear from people like Patrick that go to these things is that the food over there is also not really that amazing, but you would pay $30
for
your
food.
That's a good point.
So here the cupcakes were like 50 cents.
Patrick was saying that he took a friend of his to, and this is picking up?
Yeah, a little. Here, just look. This wire is pretty long. I'm like, you don't have to get up.
Yes.
Forward.
Get your butt up. Here you go.
Or maybe it was Matt Ault who was saying he took a friend of his to a Maid Cafe there, and they had three Cokes. I swear to God, he said that the tab, they might have had, like, other games or something going on there, but three Cokes was $50.
Mm.
Well, compared to a host club, that's a bargain.
I guess.
Hostess club.
Yes, and
one of those three Cokes would be a second mortgage.
You're at least in part paying for the ambiance and paying for your maid's
the moe
time. And the moe,
you get
which...
You get a female to pay attention to you instead of running away.
Right.
Well, that's the... that's maybe worth the price then.
The maid cafe here, it was set up in such a way that it was kind of in a hallway where they'd set up some tables, and the maids had an area behind these sort of set up temporary sort of cubicle walls. What was one of the maids dressed as the kind of gothic Lolita Mudkip?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my roommate.
But, the goth Lolita Mudkip.
Amanda.
Yeah, my roommate is the...
Goth Lolita Mudkip.
The Lolita Mudkip.
There's more than one.
Not very goth.
Wait, turn the mic so the heart shape on the other side is facing you. Like, just... no, see how there's a drawing on the side of the mic? There you go.
So did you guys eat anything...
We had the cupcakes on your
recommendation. Because you gave us the heads up.
Yeah.
Which
but it was like kind of the it was kind of the grocery store 2-bite cupcakes, but they were good. They weren't like regular grocery store. But they put chocolate sauce on the plate, sort of awkwardly. So
I didn't get that.
Draw like a heart.
There were sprinkles too. It wasn't exactly a heart.
So
it seemed to run all over the plate.
Did the maids at the cafe here put their love into your food? Did they go like
we didn't request that.
Well,
so,
if they compared the food in the back, they might have put more.
<Whoa. coughs> I mean, they were definitely into it, like when they were serving the food and, you know, presenting the bills.
Gerald is now trying to give
me
a call.
And I got flicked in the head when I lost.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was on the menu, that if you lost the game, they flick you in the forehead.
Yeah.
Did they flick you really hard?
No.
No. Oh, I see.
So that was fine. Yeah, I wasn't planning to go there, but I hadn't eaten anything all day going to panels, so I was like really hungry.
Yeah.
So everything tastes a little bit better probably because of that.
Because of being flicked in the head.
We missed the maid cafe, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was only, they weren't really operating during hours. You're another guest, and you are a ride to Albany. anyone who comes in who's not another guest, I'm going to give them a free t-shirt and some buttons. Aren't you? But you're a guest.
I'm a guest, technically.
It seems like this stat. Okay, so this con, besides seeming like the guest con, it's also the staff con.
Yeah,
I think there are as many volunteers as there are regular attendees.
It's seriously
about a 2-1
ratio.
2-1 for staff.
If you guys want to get people in, you should just put the word hentai into your panel title.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Next time,
and then ninja
consultants. Yeah, next time it's gonna be ninja consultants on hentai. And it's actually my manga bandits panel.
Yeah, but that's we don't like. We don't want that crowd necessarily.
Right.
They've never heard of... Okay, so now I have to... This is our sort of con report going on to this show. That way I don't have to record another one later. I went to the hentai panel that... Gerald and Clarissa ended up running it, but wasn't it supposed to be Lord Chaos and Hello Kitty from Happy House Vendor running it?
Yeah.
But you guys took over with a slideshow about, like, the history of hentai?
Yeah, well, I think their plan was just to sit there and talk.
They didn't realize how many people were going to show up. They were very surprised.
It kind of filled the classroom. So it was like 25 or 30 people.
And they were not prepared, I don't think, for that many people.
Yeah, it was quite a few. And they were kind of riotous.
Sounds like a good slideshow. Do you make that available to anyone?
That took years of my life. Saturday nights alone to put this thing together.
You poor, poor man.
But,
must have been.
But it was kind of hard
for
you.
The first year they...
Hard,
They came here, Happy House Hentai.
Mm-hmm.
They had it. One of the rooms around here, either in the front, had at least more people than last night.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
They seem to have a lot of fans here.
Interesting.
Like, people come up to their table a lot to be like, hey, it's Happy House Hentai. Like, a lot of people seem to know them.
Maybe because of the room.
It's a very northern college.
Like a bigger crowd to them.
I would just kind of like to hear Lord Chaos, like, do an audiobook.
That would be amazing.
just do, like,
that it can be
Canadian,
any book.
Mexican.
Just Shakespeare. Oh, hell.
Shucks.
Romeo fella here. He'd get his dick up into Juliet here. Oh, hell.
Oh, damn.
I have not heard him say. And indeed, I guess now the opportunity is lost. But 2 years ago, he'd say, "Aw, shoot," but it was all right. Like whenever he was describing anything, any situation.
But also on his show, he would say, like, he would describe a really heinous, like, hentai situation, and then be like, and they were like, "Aw, shoot," but it was all right.
But it was all right.
I think he's moved on to aw hell at this point.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's very strange to me that they have a hentai podcast, and yet in person seem very shy, very understated, and you don't really expect an aw gee shucks kind of hentai podcast. I mean, hentai and hentai watchers tend to be in your face, very loud.
I don't know.
In your, up in your business, yes.
The people,
probably not the majority of hentai watchers, though. Just the ones who know.
Well, yeah, just I mean, the ones who show up at cons. Yeah, the ones who go to
these kinds of open panels.
So I don't know. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before, but one of the first anime cons I went to was New York Anime. It wasn't New York Anime Festival. It was like a Big Apple Anime Festival, and they had an overnight room that was showing hentai. And again, this is like the first con I went to.
Like a bad idea.
I know, but. And you had to be a certain age or whatever. But it was a bizarre experience because it was like part Rocky Horror Picture Show. And some of the people in there were not what we would picture as anime fans who would go to a typical con. They were like random weird people, some of whom seemed on that weird, almost homeless level. Like maybe a little better than like a crack fiend, like a little less homeless than that on
right,
the scale
well,
of, on the downward
time.
Scale of homeless people. Well, living in New York City, you get the finer appreciation for people who are obviously on heroin but are not exactly homeless, but
right.
they're close to homeless. Drug dealers who are sort of homeless, and then, people who are on their way to being homeless.
Then there's the guy who asks you for change 1 week, and you see him again next week, and he's got different clothes, and he's dyed his hair. And you're like, what's going on?
That would be the quarterman.
No, the quarterman, he doesn't dye his hair. He just gets cleaned up. Where he, like, there's this guy hanging around NYU for a while who, like, would ask for a quarter for the phone, and he looked clean enough that, like, the first time I gave him a quarter, but then I realized, no, that was his shtick, and he did it all the time for many years, and he kind of degraded where he was slowly unshaven, and his hair was uncut, and his clothes became dirtier and dirtier, and then he would disappear for a while, and then come back and be cleaned up again. And I didn't see him for, like, 2 years once, because I didn't work around there, but then when I returned, and the first time I'd seen the quarterman in 2 years, I was sure that he had died, and I wanted to be like, quarterman, you're alive, and hug him or something, and I did not, because that would be weird. He asked me for a quarter. That was our exchange. I said no.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good shtick.
There are hardly any payphones anymore. Like,
I know. That's
it's really gone out of style.
Yeah.
Most payphones don't even work anymore in the city, though, because everyone uses cell phones, so it's not as good of a shtick as it was.
Bet he didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
The obsolescence of his trade.
That's why he starts to look
right
here.
Yeah.
So, the very troubling... Okay, so that was the overnight anime... that overnight hentai panel at that particular New York... Whatever, it was like much older people, and there was a constant dialogue between the screen and the audience where people would make a lot of jokes to pop culture things, some of which were very old, or sing parts of songs if something reminded them of the lyric. But it was like a bizarre, like these people were clearly perverts, but it was a weird back and forth and a very strange experience, which although night shift nurses is still not very tolerable, that experience made it slightly more tolerable and a little less weird for hanging out with.
I've done a lot of these things.
Does that always happen?
The thing is, I don't ever do like
just
straight up showings.
Screens.
Those things are creepy. Pornography is not meant to be consumed in a room full of large people.
Yes,
right.
I think much of the history of porn would disagree with you.
That is true.
Yeah,
but ideally,
distribution methods have improved.
Right, right.
That is why at my panels I show weird stuff like the weird cream lemon stuff and the weird Gosama Tezuka stuff and the really surreal stuff from the '80s. It did some weird stuff.
I think it'd be more creepy and more awkward if everyone was silent watching this stuff.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. In this room, it was more like a festival-like atmosphere, and once in a while, people would yell and hand check.
The yaoi panels, even when they just show like straight up regular things, like it's mostly like people are kind of yelling a lot and screaming and being ridiculous. So
right, there's a lot of screening.
Seems less
screaming.
A little less creepy.
But what was super strange about the hentai panel was. Gerald starts off and he's like, so who here knows who Osama Tezuka is? And it's only like me and Uncle Yo who know who he is.
And at that point, I was worried because part of what I'm going for is the reaction that the modern hentai industry was started by Osama Tezuka.
Right. And if you don't know who he is, that weirdness is kind of lost.
Yeah.
But then later it was like, so who has seen Legend of the Overfiend? And it's like, just me who raises my hand.
You look like the pervert.
And then
now.
It's like, I know. And then he's like, who has gone to Comic-Con? Again, just me raising my hand. Who has heard of
that's yes.
Yeah, that's more reasonable.
Yeah.
But then it makes, later you show really gross doujinshi, and it seems like I'm the pervert who goes there to collect that stuff. Not the case.
No.
But
Aaron buys doujinshi.
I only buy very funny
and
Evangelion
that are not
doujinshi.
Porn.
But then, like, there was Gona Guy was, again, a total blank from the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people would probably recognize stuff that Gona did.
No, because we listed shows, and they did not know.
Mostly, a lot of it is robot stuff, and that's not really popular.
I was really going for the Cutie Honey angle, though, because Cutie Honey's gotten a lot of recent
Yeah, there was, like, a live-action film recently.
So I was really kind of hoping, but it seemed like that audience didn't know anything.
No.
Yeah, and then the Ranma one-half thing came up, and, like, he had, like, Gerald had to explain the premise.
He was explaining the basic premise of Ranma one-half.
People didn't
know. Yeah, because there was, like, this really horrible video where it was, like, there was a cat, and it jumped into a hot tub, and then it turned into shampoo.
Right, which was
Ranma.
Which was a really
very confused.
It was super bad CG, and there was no real transition to tell you the cat had just turned into a girl. Mm-hmm. But then once you see her and you know that she is shampoo, then it's obvious that it's Ranma, and that's what the cat was doing. But if you've never heard of Ranma, it's just suddenly cut to a woman in a bathtub. Yeah. Like, who knows?
Just watch, Joe. You just started a whole new Ranma one-half renaissance.
Oh.
No, not with that video. that does not sell the Ranma one-half show. It's like some of the worst CG from 10 years ago.
That was some bad CG.
It was really bad.
That's why it was so good.
Somehow the opposite of sexy. Yep. But what else about the panel? Yes, we have.
I wasn't there.
You're going to ask Lauren Zhang questions.
Yeah, why weren't you there, Noah?
Your
friends.
I can't.
You don't want to support your friends.
There are plenty of people.
My friends. I'll see you at the mill pond, Gerald.
Isn't that something a joke where I'm from?
No, everyone has a mill pond. That's where the fights are.
Mm.
After school.
Or in the park.
I'll see you there. No, I don't. Had I known that it was going to be you guys as opposed to Happy House of Hentai, who I'd like to see them do their lecture, but probably not in the room full of creepy fans. Yeah, smelly creepy fans.
Loud, smelly creepy fans.
But
it's so hot.
And if it's Tezuka and if it's Cream Lemon, I don't have a terribly visceral reaction to. But a lot of the hardcore hentai, especially the violent hentai,
is gross.
I can't handle it.
Yeah.
It really, you know, will give me nightmares, thing. Even at my ripe old age of 30 something.
Right. Soon to be 31.
So it actually, it really does get under my skin and bother me, and so I don't tend to watch it. And even the more harmless stuff, watching it in a big crowd, I don't consider myself prude, but there's just something really weird about watching pornography with a group of people I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's why I try to keep it lighthearted. So that's why it's weird.
Yeah,
when I see a dark room of people of men sitting there with the occasional guy with his girlfriend watching stuff.
There was that Ninja Goth Loli fangirl who won the trivia contest or who was winning at the trivia contest. She was there and. Not with a guy, I don't think. She was obviously a hardcore fan. Yeah.
I mean, there were some girls in the audience.
There were girls there by themselves. Mm.
There was that one girl in the front who was really into Guro. She, like, recognized all the, like, any of the Guro artists that came up, and she...
She was yelling out, like, oh, My Chan's Daily Life, and you don't ever want to know what
that is. She did yell that a lot. That was another girl.
Then we had, the Chun-Li cosplayer in the front, who was really...
It was really good whenever we'd put up stuff involving Chun-Li, because she was like, oh...
The Chun-Li cosplayer.
Who was Aaron, you're the one who said that it's mostly girls who are into Guro at Comic-Con, right?
That's why I told us.
Yeah, that's what we were told. Well, we also...
Oh, and it was also in a... It was in a girls' hall, near the real lesbian comics, which I'm distinguishing from lesbian comics.
It's very interesting that it would be so many women.
Because only real perverts are into that.
No. It was the Guro... Do you know if the Guro... If there were... It was Guro about, girls being mutilated?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
That's very bizarre. I would think it would be, Guro about, guys or something. No,
the real hardcore feminists. True feminists.
No, what?
No.
The ones that want to destroy all men.
I don't know. I don't really get it.